SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Of the early line getting started here on a Monday morning on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. And we are approaching the NFL draft. And the Indianapolis Colts are very relevant. And Jim Irsay is delivering. Jim Irsay sent out what is, I think, so far the funniest tweet of draft season from his official account, which, by the way, all right, let me do this quickly here, Donnie, okay? New Twitter. There's now a there's this little Indianapolis Colts emoji next to Jim Irsay's name, and then you click on it, and you go to the Colts official Twitter account. Fan? Mm-hmm. You a fan of that? Do you want a little eagle next to your name?
Now, hold on. Now, to see, you have to understand how this works here, because I've been behind the scenes here with people at the Spiz Grizz here to see what's up with that. I'm expecting me to get a little SG next to my name here with that blue check. Right. So I know this was impromptu, and you didn't realize this was going to go this route, but I like the icon. It's like a little bit better if that icon's next to my name. Come on now.
Right. Yeah. Well, listen, if history repeats itself, it'll be next to my name before yours. Yes. Here's the tweet from Jim Irsay, though, which was, for the 23 draft, we have many options. With the number 4 pick, we could stay put and take a quarterback, or trade up and take a quarterback, or trade down and maybe take a quarterback, or not. Smiley face. All options on the table, but we like our position and are very excited. Fire up. Football emoji. Now, the hilarity of this is he posts then 4 photos, one of Richardson, one of Stroud, one of Young, and one of Levis, and they are all the lowest quality photo you could ever find, which I appreciate in that that does prove to me Jim Irsay really did tweet this. Like, nobody did this for him. He really did this, which I have to appreciate, Donnie. I mean, look, he really covered his bases here. They could trade up, trade down, stay put. They seemingly want a quarterback or not.
Now, granted, we knew it was going to sooner or later get to this with Jim Irsay, because this guy was up at a press conference, I think, hiring his new head coach, and just started throwing out things like, hey, man, we're like that kid from Alabama. It's like, oh, I wonder how this goes down. And Grant, and again, no matter what happens in the NFL, you could make terrible pick after terrible pick, run your franchise into the ground, and still profit. This is what I always joke about working for Jim Irsay. It must be a blast, because you're in your office one day. You guys put in 6 months of your entire scouting department that could change on a whim. Like, there's got to be like an intern here who works with the head coaching staff or the coaching staff or even the scouts that just monitors Jim Irsay's account going, hey, guys, look at these four. Oh, no. I told him not to do this, because if we do trade down, it's not going to be for a quarterback. Now he's saying we're probably still going to take the quarterback. And you want to keep everything under wraps as much as you can. I would not be surprised with this week we get a thing that goes, you know what? I made up our decision. We're going to take Richardson. Doesn't matter where we draft him. I'm like, oh, thanks, Jim. Now we have to actually make this happen. The same way he did, Kevin, with Carson Wentz. When Frank Wright's like, hey, year two, it's going to be better. No, it's not. You're trading him immediately. Well, wait a second. We're not going to get any value for this guy. I think we can. No. You're going to trade him right now. I don't care who you get. Just make this go away. And that's what you get from Jim Irsay.
Yeah, for sure. Look, he's going to be involved, I guess, when you're the owner of a team. I mean, you obviously have the right to. Is it the right move? Probably not. The tweet is so great. There are some odds, though, that'll maybe help us get an idea of what actually is going on. Radio audience is here Monday morning. The early line on Sirius XM, channel 159. The odds for the team to draft Will Levis, the favorite, the Indianapolis Colts at plus 100. The number 4 overall pick, Will Levis, is also plus 100 in that market. That is the pick that the Colts have. The odds are telling us Colts sit at 4 and draft Levis. Now, how Anthony Richardson factors in, well, he's the favorite to go 3rd. At plus 175, the team that is favored to draft Anthony Richardson, DRS, the Titans at plus 220, who certainly do not have the 3rd overall pick here. Really interesting to try and work our way through it's very reasonable that Richardson's on the board at four for the Colts. But I think the big thing is, if I'm reading the odds board, they don't seem to think the Colts are moving out of that fourth spot.
It's going to cost a lot. And also, Kevin, if you were going up for the Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, wouldn't it make sense? Like, hey, that's the two top quarterbacks in the draft. We want to make sure we get one of those. We'll pay for that. But it's not feeling like the Richardson-Levis move, something that you really want to pay for, as if that guy is going to be your franchise quarterback from day one and certainly be a bona fide superstar within a year or two in the league. But also, you have to take a look at the Philadelphia Eagles, who lost Shane Steichen to the Colts. He's the offensive coordinator who did wonders with Jalen Hurts, a quarterback, and you know he's probably looking at Anthony Richardson like, hey, I can probably make this work as well. But also, back to Jim Irsay's tweets here, I mean, he could have thrown in Bijan Robinson in there, just to throw everybody off, maybe a defensive, you know, Carter, oh, so a defensive good. Tackle, Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, that would have really, wait, we could trade down and take a running back. Now that would have got the party started for me.
You know what, since you brought it up, did you know that Bijan Robinson is currently the favorite to go eighth overall in this draft?
Yeah.
Eighth overall, Bijan Robinson. So we've not learned any lessons here. And by the way, for those that don't know, who picks eighth overall? The Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons. What are they doing? What are they doing? The Falcons passed on Justin Fields so they could take a tight end. They have no interest in Lamar. They're drafting a running back in the top 10. Yeah, man, the Arthur's certainly cooking. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live on SportsGrid, and if you need more SportsGrid, good news, you can get it. Yeah, the SportsGrid app, now available in the Apple Store. Big time, exciting stuff. Summers, listen, there are other rumors out there that Donnie was a big part of the development of this app there. As we know, DRS is involved in all things. A lot of exciting things happening. And again, a lot of positive reviews here early on the app. Make sure you get there. It has, all the latest information. And I cannot hype up enough the projection models that are in there, which will really help you during this NBA postseason. And then the main attraction, Don. I mean, the ability to follow your host. I was watching BATR over the weekend. Someone said,
yeah,
don't follow Donnie. I heard it. I heard it in my own 2 ears.
The only comment I read on there was, why is this on tape delay again? That's the only thing I read from that comment there.
My man, this whole thing's outdated. They're talking playing. What is this,
2019 here? Yeah, come on.
What is this? I mean, someone tell these guys KD's not on the Warriors anymore. Goodness gracious. Yeah. I mean, this whole thing's falling apart here.
Coach? Yeah.
You know what? And you're right. It was. His segments were tape delayed. Mine were live. I was tossing to his tape delayed answers.
So,
I had to get a shift in. By the way, go to sportsgrid.com/watch. Find all the places that you can watch SportsGrid because the grid is everywhere. Let's talk baseball. Yesterday, the Yankees win 2-0 over the Minnesota Twins. Complete game shutout for Gerrit Cole. You can take this at two angles. You can either talk about this incredible start to the season for Gerrit Cole, or the fact that the Yankees, this was a split, but they're the only team that have not lost a series to open this season. Which of those two items catches your eye more? The overall success for the Yankees or the dominant performances from Gerrit Cole?
I love Gerrit Cole's performances. I really do, because sometimes when you open up the season, a pitcher might not be ready or all the way there, not having the chance to stretch him out. You know, hey, he's only going to go 5 innings today. We don't want him to throw more than 94 pitches or something like that. 9 innings, 0 earned runs, 10 Ks, 1 walk. Absolutely filthy yesterday. That's what I want to see, because for the Yankees, Kevin, for me, it's not about the regular season. We expect the Yankees to be in the playoffs. But if I'm going to get Gerrit Cole on his game from April on, I think I'm in a pretty good spot, because they're going to wait on getting those pitchers. Also, at the trade deadline, they can ramp up. But if you have an absolute ace pitching at the top of his game like Gerrit Cole is, that's what I take away from it. And that's big news for the New York Yankees.
It absolutely is. He's down to plus 400 to win the AL Cy Young, which, look, he's jumped in front of DeGrom, the second choice on that. Otani. It's Otani, who's pitching tonight. We will talk
today
about that
early.
Certainly. Yes, it is actually, which is great, by the way, for those who want to get involved with us on Moneyline. We're going to have baseball all throughout that show, 1 p.m. Eastern start. The other big news in the AL East, Donnie, was, of course, the Rays-Blue Jays series here. Toronto won the first two games. They snapped that streak for Tampa Bay. The Rays did set that record with 14 straight wins. They tied that record with 13 straight. Toronto took the first two. Tampa comes back, though, 8-1 in the series finale here. Takeaway overall from the fact that, you know, Tampa Bay was able to now to – look, bounce back in this series, but they did lose their first two games of the season.
Yeah, and you know what? Sooner or later, you're going to lose in baseball. When you go on the road and play good opponents here, it's hard enough just to win a series, let alone sweep a series. But I got to say, the way the series, if you would have told me, hey, they're going to lose two out of three, but it really felt like they needed that. There's no way that Tampa Bay could have had that win streak, then went on the road against a division opponent who we thought probably at the end of the season is going to be a playoff team in Toronto and would have swept the Rays. Look at that. The 14 wins were bogus. Look at who they played. Even though they didn't win the series and lost the series, I felt good about the Rays getting that 8-1 win going away, because they're still 14-2 overall. You played a good team in their building. At least you got one of those wins, and away you go here. So I'm not going to slander the Rays today. Would have loved to see them sweep Toronto so we could have kept talking about this win streak, but they take that last game, and that's good enough.
I still remain – look, I'm not trying to hate on the Tampa Bay Rays, but I really still don't understand why they have jumped up to favorites to win the AL East. They've jumped Toronto in odds to win the AL pennant. They have the same odds as the Yankees to win the World Series. They have a 4-game lead on the Yankees and the Blue Jays. There are 4-game leads that are going to exist in August. And you and I are going to say, hey, do we think that that division lead is safe? Or do you really believe that, Donnie, in 16 games, the Tampa Bay Rays, there's 162 games, but a tenth of the season, shout out to me for that math quick. Do you really believe that we in 16 games can go, Tampa Bay is deserving to be favorites in the division, despite the fact that they were the third choice before the year started?
Here's also the interesting thing about this too, Kevin. I'm going to play it a little bit different angle. Major League Baseball's schedule has changed a little bit now, because what did you used to worry about most? Like, oh my goodness. Let's just say the NL East or the AL East. We'll keep with the Yankees here. Boy, they're going to have to go up against the Boston Red Sox if they're good, the Toronto Blue Jays if they're good, and also in Tampa. You guys are going to play the majority of the schedule against those teams. Beat yourselves up. But also, Kevin, from that same perspective is, if you need to make up games, how many times do we see it on the schedule go, look at this. 9 games in September versus the Tampa Bay Rays. You're down 4. Talking about the Yankees, if they're still 4 back at that time, they can make up the distance. Maybe it's not so easy to make up the distance now in your division, Kevin, because you don't have that many, or excuse me, in the past, as many head-to-head games. I'm just spitballing here on what the factors might be, because you're correct. It's April 17th. You got April, May, June, July, August, and September. And unless it's a 20-game lead, come on now. I hear you.
I just, it feels like a lot. I can't wait till you see that.
I think I just did.
No, wow.
Now, is that a new graphic?
Wow.
What is that?
I don't know. That was the emphasis on your take. Sandy Alcantara against Zach Gallen. That's what the people are talking about, Nani. Man. Sandy Alcantara last year wins the NL Cy Young, favorite to repeat, as it often goes in the market. He's having a very tough start to his season. And on the other side of the mound yesterday in a 5-0 Diamondbacks win was Zach Gallen, who was one of three pitchers to jump Alcantara in the NL Cy Young odds. Spencer Strider's the favorite at 7-1. Julio Urias not far back at plus 750. Zach Gallen is plus 850. Sandy's now back to that 10-1 price.
Yeah, and rightfully so. You only see what you see, but certainly where do the lines move the most, Kevin? At the beginning of the season and the end of the season, not the middle of the season. So if Alcantara's not having a good start with an ERA approaching 6, he's going to drop like a rock. He actually didn't drop all that much after the Philadelphia Phillies game where they really beat him up. Now, maybe he goes to the IL for one of those, shoulder inflammation. Let's just give you a week or two off to try to think about things. We'll see if that happens. But the bigger picture here is the Diamondbacks, 9-7 on the season, and Gallen is a very very good pitcher. He just plays on a bad baseball team where you don't really say, oh, you know, Gallen can really win a Cy Young or do some damage, because when you're bad, most people don't give you the benefit of the doubt. Gallen is a really good pitcher, and him going there and shutting out the Marlins big time there, 5-0. But again, the Diamondbacks, 9-7 here. We expected them to be terrible, and they're over 500. Good stuff.
Yeah, definitely playing some good baseball here. Otherwise, NL East teams yesterday, the top teams, Donnie, getting the job done. The Phillies, the Braves, and the Mets all putting victories up on the board. Which of those three caught your eye?
Yeah, Phillies got 23 hits yesterday, sort of breaking out of that funk. They really needed that. But just those wins where sometimes you say, how could you lose this game? The Mets were actually down 3-2 entering into the ninth inning. Pete Alonso hit a monster shot. That's a good win for the Mets here, even if it is against the Athletics. You can't lose those games. It would have been very easy just to go down 1-2-3 in the ninth inning and lose it, but the Polar Bear helped them out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got 8 home runs this season. There somebody get on base? Somebody get on base, though, when this guy's going to hit a home run. 14 RBIs. A little help for Pete Alonso. He's definitely starting to heat up at the dish as well. He's brought that average up to 267. Not that that's phenomenal, but the batting average was sub 200 after like the first week of baseball there. So he's definitely playing better. We got a full slate to preview, including Shohei Ohtani, who's got the ball on the mound, and a same game parlay. We're live right here on Sports Grid. It's the Early Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Baseball, baseball, baseball. A lot of baseball today here on a Monday. And what works is we have one game early. At least you have one. Should have more, but we have one game. And it's 11:10 a.m. in Boston. So way early, this game here. Actually, is this going to even carry us all the way through money lines? All right, we'll figure it out. Let's get involved, though, people. We'll start the whole deal off, though, on this baseball breakdown with a little same game parlay. Talk to me, DRS. What do you like here on this baseball board for a same-game parlay?
Let's keep the hot times going, K-Dub. Same-game parlay has been working out quite well for us, especially last week. So new week, new money, as we like to say. I'm going to stick with the Philadelphia Phillies. 23 hits yesterday going up against Lance Lynn, a right-handed pitcher today. XFIP number for Lance Lynn, a 4.30, so it's slightly elevated. He does very well against right-handed batters, Kevin, but not so well against left-handed batters. Weighted on base percentage of 542 and ISO 538. So we're going to zero in on a three-leg hitter prop parlay here. We're going to go with Stott, Schwarber, and Marsh, all from the left side, each to record at least a base hit apiece. When that does happen, Kevin, a plus 235 price here. So I'm going Phillies, left-handed batters, and a fade of Lance Lynn, the right-handed pitcher.
Love it, love it, love it. I figured I'll try and get the people some action, though, for Ohtani, right? In this early start here, Shohei is on the mound. Ohtani for 5-plus strikeouts. He's had at least 6 in all 3 of his starts. Ohtani to record a hit. Ohtani has had a hit in all 3 of his starts. And the Angels money line, they have won 2 out of his 3 starts, with the one loss somehow coming to the Athletics in the open. Mm. That is a plus 130 payout as we get excited for Ohtani to take the mound. By the way, after this game, the Angels will start a series with the Yankees. And shout out to at least MLB Network, who's doing a nice job labeling it Ohtani versus Judge Week there. Just trying to emphasize those two guys going head-to-head and add a little gravitas to the Major League Baseball calendar, while, of course, the postseason in the NBA dominating, hockey playoffs about to start as well. Try and capitalize on the star power that you have in Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge. I think that's good stuff. Keeping it moving with this board, though, the Rays start a new series, and this is against the Cincinnati Reds. And the expectation for Tampa Bay, as it's been basically all year long, is to secure a win. A road favorite of about minus 145 total for this game is 9.5.
Probably should get it done. And also, you're talking about yesterday, another nice offensive performance for Tampa Bay, who's been very good for the majority of this early portion of the season. If you take a look at Green on the mound, he actually has a very good xFIP number, Kevin, at a 3.54 K percentage, close to 35%. So when guys are striking out at that level, it's hard just to get those productive outs to happen. Now, Green is a right-handed pitcher, Kevin. He's faced 36 left-handed batters on the season, a 309 weighted on base percentage, which is very good from his perspective, but he has struggled against right-handed batters. He's faced 30 of those, Kevin, a 411 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 192. If we're looking in the lineup today for Tampa Bay, forget even lefty-righty splits. Let's just talk about how well this Tampa Bay lineup has done against right-handed pitchers. Look at the first five batters weighted on base percentage. Diaz, 427. Lau, 489. Arozarena, 363. Franco, 416. Rally, 385. And then even Lowe, who's down in the eight-hole spot, a 468 weighted on base percentage. This team, I want to keep on riding them on offense. Here's the issue. Last week, Kevin, it was a bonus in Major League Baseball. So many markets were playing in 75-plus degree temperatures. That's not going to be the case. But however, today in Cincinnati, first pitch, 44 degrees. But an 18-mile-an-hour wind blowing out to left center field might try to help offset that. But if we're talking about winds at 17 miles an hour or more and the temperature 44, what's the wind chill? We in the low 30s at that point? That's terrible.
That is absolutely not what you are looking for. Just quickly on the Cincinnati side of it. Look, Hunter Green is a heralded prospect. The Reds obviously very excited about him. He has three no decisions to open this season. His ERA is not obviously what he's looking for. He's not been able to go deep in ball games yet, but this is supposed to be one of their guys. It's just, at some point, you have to imagine they're going to be winning a Hunter Green start. Is it coming against the Rays? I'd say no, but a plus price is tempting. Phillies White Sox here. I know we hit that, Donnie, through the same game parlay. Mm-hmm. Any additional notes in Wheeler versus Lynn?
Yeah, I think Wheeler's going to have a good performance because the lineup has not yet hit like the way we think the Chicago White Sox can hit. But having said that again, Kevin, just doing a quick look overall at what the temperatures we're expecting here. 39 degrees at game time. But get this, Kevin. It's supposed to be rainy throughout the afternoon, but at night it's going to clear up, which again, temperatures are going to be in the mid-30s. But how about this? 25-mile-an-hour sustained winds to dead center field? Like, I don't know how really that offsets per se, but whenever you get windy conditions like that, it does make it exciting. But again, if we're talking about temperatures at, let's just say, 38 degrees at first pitch with 25, do they even play the game? Like, why are we even playing this game, to be honest?
What happened, by the way? Last week we were doing baseball breakdowns. You're like, if it's 85, wind's blowing out everywhere.
I'll tell you. Team totals are supposed to start up this week. That's why we get freezing cold temperatures out here. Look, the gambling gods understand what's about to be unleashed. They just don't want to let it happen yet. That's all. That's simple.
All right. You know what it is? Maybe that's Mother Nature saying, Donnie, you usually wait till May. No, and they're making you wait it out a little bit there. But don't let them cut in. You can't let them cut into cigar weather. By the way, we mentioned them with Zach Wheeler, and look, it's small sample size, right? Really banged up in that opening game for him against the Rangers. Really settled in nicely now in his last two against Cincinnati and Miami. Yeah. 11 and a third innings, just three earned runs over those games there. Continuing to move it forward here. Cubs Athletics, my goodness. You know what? Cubs Athletics is one of those things where is the baseball going to be good? I don't know. But the colors are appeasing to the eye. Good uniform matchup, in my opinion, here. Cubbies are favorites on the road with Wesneski?
Yeah.
A road favorite for Wesneski, DRS? What's that about?
Let's just play into this and have some fun. We know how bad the Athletics are. So if you take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, you get a minus 142 price on the Chicago Cubs and a total of 8.5. You say, that makes some sense here just because it's the Athletics and they should always be underdogs. But Wesneski is taking the mound with a 7.18 xFIP, doesn't strike anybody out, feels like he walks everybody. And look at his lefty-righty splits. To lefties, 651 weighted on base percentage, which is roughly double of what you're supposed to be. To righties, a 412. ISO power number to lefties, Kevin, 583, which is basically four times higher than what you're supposed to be. And to righties, a 267. That shows you the length that we'll go to say, well, we don't think the Athletics can even hit the worst pitchers in the league. But I have to say, I'm not looking at the back of Chicago. When I look at a pitcher that goes, they can't get anybody out and they're a favorite, just goes to show you again how bad the A's are. But come on now. I'm not betting the Cubs here at that price.
Can I ask you, though, with something like this, right? And I know for you, you always want things to line up. I know that's why you don't worry as much about pricing. But the total's 8.5, right? And if I would have told you Mueller Wisniewski is 8.5, you're like, sign me up. But then you realize, well, hold on a minute, right? Look at these guys. What? I know the answer is probably stay away, right? But would you be tempted at a team total of, you know, 3 on Oakland? If that, I'm trying to see if that number's up right now. 3.5 against Wisniewski. Could you trust them at that number?
I mean, it's a low enough number where you can walk into those runs. It's not as if, like, hey, they're 3.5 and Garrett Cole's going against him. You say, well, I don't even know if they're going to get on base. They should be able to do that. But you have to also have to factor in, you saw the game yesterday where the Mets were down 3-2 in the 9th inning and had to get their 3rd run on a solo shot to get to extras just to get to that 4th run in a matchup where I thought they should have had much, much more runs. You also have to keep in mind, it's Oakland. Like, the high temperature is like 55 degrees. It's a true pitcher's ballpark. And with that extended foul ground, you lose outs in that game where maybe you just fouled off into the stands. Those are actually outs here. So Oakland is a little bit more tricky in that environment. But if I'm looking and just saying the numbers, the pitching numbers add up, but both sides hitters, I mean, it's the bottom of the barrel, looks like, to be honest.
Yeah, that's brutal stuff there. Look, there's two more great series to match up here. The top of the NL East and the top of the NL West. We will get to both of them, but let's do Braves Padres first here, DRS. Oh, my goodness. Max Fried against Weathers. Look, when it comes to baseball, there's certain guys I know that are targets, and I know that Weathers is one of them here. Is it a Braves team total or what?
It's not a Braves team total here, Kevin, because, again, this is when the analytics, there's a collision here, right? The analytics coming from the left, the analytics coming from the right, they meet in the middle. It's like, oh, come on, man. What are we going to make out of this? Why? Weathers has a high xFIP, Kevin, 4.95. You'd like to see that 3.5 or less. He doesn't strike anybody out, walks too many guys. But how about this? A 195 weighted on base percentage to lefties this year. He's a left-handed pitcher, a 0 ISO power number. So you say to yourself, okay, higher xFIP number, he's probably getting torched by right-handed batters. Not the case. A 260 weighted on base percentage and an 037 ISO power number through 30 batters here. And if we line up the Braves lineup today, Kevin, here's the double whammy against left-handed pitchers. Take a look at this. ISO power numbers we'll use here. And again, 0.170 or higher is where you need to be. Acuna, 067. Olsen, 105. Albie, 0. Grisham, 0. Azuna, 0. Pilar, 0. White, 0. Only two guys in the middle of that lineup. Oh. Riley and Murphy are above average. It just doesn't check out all that well for Atlanta to play today.
Perhaps then even a game under. Max Fried back for the first time since the season opener, where he left with a hamstring injury here. So it'll be really interesting to see how far Max Fried is allowed to push it today against San Diego. Definitely something to monitor. I know we've got NBA playoffs to get to, but I'm not skipping out on Dodgers-Mets. We will hit Dodgers-Mets, and then we've got two NBA games, as we mentioned, to break down here. Keep it locked. It's the Early Line live on Sports Grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's move quick here. Mets, Dodgers. The price on the Dodgers is dropping a bit. It's underneath minus 150. Dustin May has the ball here. We're out in LA. What do you think here for Dodgers, Mets?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, too, because when you try to take a look at the analytical side here from the pitchers, May's got a 5.04 xFIP and not a high K rate, not a high walk rate. So you figure he's getting dotted up out there on the diamond, but he's not. When you look at his numbers, they might be the best in baseball when we're pertaining to weighted on base percentages. May, a right-handed pitcher, Kevin, a 232 weighted on base percentage to lefties with a 077 ISO power number. To righties, he's been almost flawless. 22 batters, he's facing 079 weighted on base percentage and a 0 ISO power power number. So you say to yourself, for the Mets, maybe good luck with that. But here's the angle that you're probably going to play in this one. Peterson's on the mound. XFIP numbers, Kevin, very good on the season. Left-handed pitcher, 3.77, right where you want to be. K percentage approaching 25%. He's been dominant against lefties, but the righties, it's been a little bit of a different picture here. 48 batters he's faced from the right side, Kevin, a 421 weighted on base percentage in an ISO of 209. So your focal point is probably going to be the right-handed batters on the Dodgers today going up against Peterson, the lefty. Should be a great game to watch, but that's the angle. If I'm playing anything, that's where it'll come from.
Okay. Again, packed baseball slate. It starts early. We are less than 3 hours away, if you're with us here in real time, from when that Angels-Red Sox game is going to start. Ohtani has the ball. Let's get over to the NBA. We'll start with Sixers-Nets. We didn't hit this series at all in the opening hour, and part of that is because the series is being presented as over, though it was being presented in that way before the series even started. The Sixers are minus 1,800. The Nets at plus 980 to win the series. The Sixers to win this in four or five games is minus 205 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And I thought that Brooklyn, I didn't think they had a chance to win the series. I thought their best-case scenario was winning just one game. I thought, though, that that would be more likely actually to happen in Philly. I just thought it would be more likely that the Sixers would, one of the first two games, kind of not really remember that it matters to try type of thing. And I thought the Nets played well in game one. And they lost by 20 points, Donnie. 20 points. It's one of these things where I really believe the Sixers should sweep the Nets. They are way better than Brooklyn. I still just don't know if I trust them to be locked in over the next three games and actually sweep the Nets in the way that they should.
Yeah, they're still a playoff team, the Nets. Now, what sort of playoff team? We're going to find out over the next couple games. But I always thought, for the Philadelphia 76ers perspective, this is probably the best matchup you can have in round one, more so than even the 7 and 8 seeds and even the play-in. Because I thought the Sixers matched up very well with the Nets, and they did blow the doors off them. We talked about it late last week, I believe on Friday's show, saying, or at least from my perspective, the one game that the Nets probably could get is game one, because you have that Sixers long layoff and a 1 o'clock matinee basketball game, and it didn't matter. The Sixers were better all the way through, and also you didn't need 45 points out of Joel Embiid for a blowout victory. Everybody participated, including a franchise playoff best, I believe 21 three-point shots made, which was equally impressive. The Sixers should walk through this series as we expected, but having said that, are we going to bet on the sweep? It's really hard to sweep an NBA team, because the one thing that you do know is, even if the Sixers do win the game and go up 2-0, you know you're getting Brooklyn's best punch at home, and that's the chance they figure they can enter back into the series, and that's going to be the toughest one for the Sixers. But again, I'm not going to overlook the Nets tonight, but then again, you go, wow, 10-point favorite here for the Sixers, huh?
Yeah, look, it's a huge number, but I understand it. So to get to game two tonight, where you mentioned it's a 10-point line, totals 213, I bet the Brooklyn Nets team total in game number one at 102.5. They got to 101, scored 43 points in the second half. Here's the thing, right? You try and not get to, you know, don't get burnt by a bet and be willing to come back to stuff. I love coming back to a bet, right? If you can justify it and it makes sense. I'm not coming back to Brooklyn. They shot 56% from the field, 45% from three. And they couldn't give me 103 points. If they hit it tonight, good for them. I don't trust Brooklyn. Because another issue that I have with the Nets is I don't think Mikal Bridges is going to play as well as he did. 23 first half points, finished with 30. Shot at 12 of 18 from the field. Maybe the volume increases, but that, again, would be the only way that I would be looking to back Mikal Bridges. In fact, I would actually play his under points prop, which is now up to 27.5. I lean under in this game at 213. As you mentioned, the Sixers really should not be hitting 20-plus threes in consecutive games here. That would be my preferred angle in Sixers-Nets.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that. Even though I take a look at those 213 number, I say, boy, if they both approach 100, you're probably going to take this down. But it feels like one of those games where it's like the Sixers run out to a lead again and just stall out. So for even looking from like a points perspective on the player props here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, It's just a little lengthy here because Joel Embiid, you're not getting a discount, 32.5. Do they really need that from him? Where James Harden had a wonderful game one here. You're trying to line him up to over 20 points here. And then if you want to even get involved in the secondary options, like, okay, well, if the Sixers run out to a lead, they're probably still going to have Maxi play 30-plus minutes. He's at 18.5, which roughly means you need 20 points to go over that. And you'd feel a lot better if you were looking at Warriors-Kings 240-plus price point. 213.5. It's almost like you're steady looking towards the under. Now, for me, I just gave you the Sixers options here where I go, boy, I'm worried about a blowout. Should maybe we be looking more towards Nets player props here? Because I doubt even in a blowout, they're just going to send everybody to the bench here at this point. I think I'm maybe going to attack
in game
Nets
one
player point perspective. But can they do it in game two again? Like, okay, we didn't get this one. You're just going to do that and say, oh, 2-0 is fine. Something you got to eventually work something out. You can't get worked in two games and be like, okay, we'll be fine at home as the higher seeded team.
So I hear your point in that you should never really tap out regardless type of thing. But if you are going back, at least the, hey, we're going back home type of thing, right? Like the desperation level for Brooklyn is not at maximum capacity. By the way, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying there was 4-ish minutes left in that game and they yacked everybody while the Sixers still had their guys out there. My favorite thing is that when Doc half emptied the bench, they left Tobias Harris out there. Kind of like the Josh Jacobs thing, which was just totally bizarre. Before we get to the other game here, I just want to mention Joel Embiid's points prop tonight, 32.5. 7-15 from the field, 26 points in the opening game here. I tend to lean towards that Embiid bounce back. But again, when you're dealing with a double-digit spread, you do worry about the potential blowout. Let's get to what feels like the main attraction for tonight's slate, which is Kings Warriors. The Warriors have now flipped to a road favorite, like a... not strong. I don't want to say strong, but this game isn't pure pick anymore, right? The Warriors are favored in the game. They're laying 1.5. Totals up to 240. And this is what I talked about at the top of the show here in terms of the volume in this game, Donnie. And I want to talk about Steph and Klay specifically. They both took 14 threes in this game, including the game number one. Steph this season has had 17 games where he has taken at least 14 threes. In 15 of the 17, he has made 5-plus triples. Klay has also had 17 games where he has taken 14 or more threes. He has made at least 5 threes in every single one of those games. Now, it might be foolish to expect Groundhog Day. We're getting 14 threes at a minimum for these two. But if the volume is there, Donnie, they both hit at a ridiculous rate. I mean, that's a combined 32-2 for these guys to go over their three-point props, which is both 4.5.
Yeah, it should be a fun game to watch because if there's any indication of what we're getting out of the series, well, we have a total around that 240 range. But also, you're right, 53-point shot attempts for Golden State. It's clear what they want to try to do in this type of tempo game, and they're going to probably shoot close to 53-point shots again. Now, if they get hot behind the arc, there's nothing really you can do about it. But I want to get back to this point, you know, not really looking at player props. I love the fact that the Warriors, again, people just call, oh, the Warriors can't lose to it. Why can't they? The Warriors have lost 2 in a row all season long, it felt like, on the road and 4 in a row and 6 in a row. So why can't they lose 2 in a row as if it's a bounce-back performance? And did we watch that game, game one? And did anybody come away like, yeah, man, you know what? Sacramento was really lucky to win that basketball game. I didn't come away with that. So why are we backing the Warriors tonight, if you are? Why would the Warriors be the favorite here? Is it just like, hey, you know what? We still run it through the computer systems, and they were supposed to be a favorite for the series. They should get 1 of 2 on the road here at Sacramento. What gives us the belief that the Warriors would get 1 of 2 when they barely could do that in the regular season and now facing a team in a sold-out, raucous building and knowing that they already beat the Warriors in game one? Do you think from the perspective here for the Kings as an organization, say, oh, man, we got 1 of 2 at home, man. That's exactly what we wanted. No, you're supposed to press the lever down and step on the necks here of the Warriors, Kevin. That's what we're doing tonight.
Yeah, absolutely so. I just laugh where the Warriors enter the locker room like, hey, perfect, down 0-2. Woo! Everybody get excited. Yep. Everybody get pumped up here. One of the other angles for me that I'm very interested in this game is the bounce back spot for Domantas Sabonis. Scored 12 points. He was 5 of 17. Sabonis is a guy. Now, look, Kevon Looney, Draymond Green, both good defenders. This is somebody that shot 61% from the floor, DRS.
Yeah.
18.5 is now his points prop. It drops a little bit here. This is what we talk about, bounce back spots. I love a bounce back spot for Sabonis here in this game. And also, when your total's 240, it always feels like you can start to then play overs more freely here. Even if this game goes under by 15 points. So 225 points that are up for grabs here. Sabonis is one of the key guys for me in game number two.
I like that, too, because when you take a look at Sabonis, a lot of times also, Kevin, it's about his points, rebounds, and assists, because he was really a triple-double machine heading down the stretch or just missing out on triple-doubles. So that's an option as well. But if we're looking, again, in that 240 range, some other guys are going to have to step up here where it's not Fox and Monk have to go wild. The crazy part is when you saw Draymond Green talk on his podcast after the game, he's like, look, Fox is a really good basketball player. Not to really slander Monk, but we can't allow him to get 30-plus points. So I think those points from that guard position might be distributed across the board. Like maybe you would look towards a Harrison Barnes or a Kevin Huerter or even a Keegan Murray at that point. I look for some of those secondary options because we're expecting points, and I don't know if Monk's going to give us another 30-point outlet, but if you are the Kings, you got to score a lot, and maybe those secondary options come to fruition tonight. Because where do we like the secondary options, Kevin? Always on the home court.
Yeah, for sure, right? So I think that's a key thing here that can't be forgotten. The thing with Monk, again, when you watch that game, is we always talk about volume. And I'm not saying he's going to continue to score 32 points, right? But where does that Malik Monk prop in tonight check in? Okay, so checks in at 16.5. Malik Monk was so aggressive in this game, Donnie. You might think, 13 field goal attempts isn't a ton. 14 free throw attempts from Malik Monk. Yep. And he made all 14 of them. Do you know how many? So his usage rate was sky high in this basketball game. Yeah. And 28
minutes.
I'm not sure that's going to come back enough. I wouldn't go under 16.5, right? Again, you're right. 32 points, but that's double the prop here. If that type of volume continues to, and aggressiveness specifically from Malik Monk checks in, they may never be able to catch up to the Malik Monk props throughout this series. Phenomenal game number one. Let's hope game number two is more of the same. Excited to get involved with tonight's NBA action. And of course, today's baseball slate looks swell as well. But before you go anywhere, you make sure that you listen.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the day for the early line right on the SportsGrid Network SiriusXM channel 159. Today, of course, Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh powering through from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to the morning after, and Ben Stevens and the rest of your Sports Grid programming. A lot of fun on the show today. Love Mondays, too, because so many things happen on Saturday and Sunday. Sometimes we just don't have enough time to recap everything, but I thought we did a great job. Major League Baseball over the weekend. We saw the Rays win streak come to an end. We'll see if they can build a new one here, but still sitting through 16 games at 14-2. Not bad. The NBA playoffs began on Saturday afternoon and continued all the way through Sunday. A lot of big-time talking points to go over it. Also, Major League Baseball today, starting at 11 a.m. up in Boston for their annual Patriots Day Boston Marathon game. Shohei Ohtani on the hill. But we're talking about NBA action on a Monday, so listen up. Boy, oh boy, could you get a real auspicious start in the NBA playoffs? Well, we got one. How about all the injuries taking place to key performers? Ja Morant of the Memphis Grizzlies, most notably Giannis Antetokounmpo going down with a back injury, and Tyler Hero for the Miami Heat breaking his hand, so it looks like he's going to miss the remainder of the playoffs. Those injuries are devastating, but which one is really going to come to fruition and really go against their team? Giannis might be back sooner than later. You're taking a look at Ja Morant, who by the time he gets healthy, is the deficit going to be too big against the Los Angeles Lakers? And Hero Dunn with a legitimate chance for the Miami Heat to maybe pull off a monster upset. That's certainly going to hurt. But a long way to go, including two NBA games tonight, three more tomorrow night. The good thing about the NBA playoffs, if you are injured, battered, or bruised, is you get extra games, or should I say extra days in between games to rehab, recover, and get back on the court. If you're looking for Memphis here, they absolutely must beat the Los Angeles Lakers in game number two in their own building. And the same thing goes for the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll watch it all the way through, but we're just at the beginning of the NBA playoffs with a long road to go. Stay tuned next year for The Morning After with Ben Stevens, right here in the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.